The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we have part one of our MagQuest recap. We're going to dive into some of the bands, some of the video games, board games, all the amazing stuff that we saw. So be sure to listen to this episode all the way through. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. It's Sunday, 3:43 in the p.m. MagFest is pretty much all done and wrapped up. There's still some things going on. The Child's Play charity auction is downstairs. I think there might be maybe one or two more. I don't think there's any more panels, but there's like a closing ceremonies. But it's pretty much done. So I think while we're here still, let's go ahead and recap and go around the table, talk about our experiences this year. We also have a guest with us, Andrew.
How you doing? Instead of singing this tin can, they gave me a nickel. So,
well, check's in the mail.
It really does look like a tin can now that I see it.
It does.
It's a can. It's huge. Yeah.
We're talking about my microphone. It does once, look like a tin can.
I'm like, no one's made that joke before.
Once you see it,
can't unsee it.
These are really nice mics, though.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, we got actually a couple compliments from a number of our guests. We're like, wow, this is a more professional setup than I was expecting.
Yeah,
legit, man, legit.
Thank you.
Well, when you tell someone that you know do a podcast, it means nothing to them. I mean, they you might as well be like,
well, you're not a blogger, at least.
Yeah, it's probably a step up.
Wait, I assume that you are a blogger, a blogger.
We do have a blog.
No, we do blog.
Oh, you still blog.
Yeah, check it out.
BGMpodcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah, check it out at BGMpodcast.blogspot.com.
It's blogrific.
So technically,
we are technically bloggers
of journalism.
But we're not just bloggers. Those are like the subhumans.
Like, you don't have press on your, like, thing, on your tag here.
No,
right,
that's actually
our goal someday,
actually,
future.
No, to be fair,
actually,
badge
we were talking with Nick Marinelli, the guy who runs press relations for MagFest. We got the press credential emails. So technically next year we probably could apply as press.
Check.
And I think we're going to have a good enough buzz from some of the interviews that we did, because some of the people that we interviewed are actually fairly important people who had really good experiences, namely James Portnow and Daniel Floyd from Extra Credits. That was hands down the best interview that we've done here, and maybe the best interview we've done ever.
Yeah.
Agreed, yes.
I mean, that's not to, you know, cast aspersions on any of the other interviews we've done, like, ever.
But
the lead up to it, the interview itself, and then the post interview session.
Right. I mean, that's
which day was this?
This was last night.
Technically this morning.
Technically this morning at 12:30.
Okay.
And not only did they were super tired. They had to get on a flight
in
6 hours. But not only did they do the interview, and the interview was fantastic. I mean, very professional, very like intelligent.
Yeah.
They actually hung out for like another 45 minutes after the interview, just hanging out and shooting the shit.
Even though they had a flight they had to catch and they hadn't slept.
Yep.
Yeah. And those are guys who are like important. Like, they are in the industry. Like, one, like, Daniel Floyd works for Pixar. James Portnow is a game designer, professor at DigiPen, just all around awesome dude.
And he also is a consultant, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean those are people who can, you know, potentially pull strings. Or just give you a good word. Like, those are people whose word will actually mean something to people.
Just infuse more humor. Is Digipen the good gaming academy? Because there's so many of them, and they all, like, be a video game designer in 6 months.
It's not, at least it's not
Colin. I'm John St. John.
It's not
Can
Colin's
Can you believe
college.
We're actually doing this, man?
What one?
We're getting played.
We
got to
tighten up the graphics with our Xbox controllers.
Tighten up the graphics on level 3.
They seem a little loose. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't have loose graphics. It'll bring the whole system crashing down. It's funny.
You can have other things loose.
Loose graphics. Well, it's funny we're talking about that because we watched Grandma's Boy two nights ago. You ever seen Grandma's Boy?
I'm an antique.
No, it's Adam.
It is a West. Happy Madison. Okay. It is a Happy Madison production, but Adam Sandler is not in it.
Is it not?
Hey, Justin.
Is he not?
Justin,
not.
I made ice cream sandwiches. They're on whole wheat with lettuce.
I'd never seen it before. This is my first time seeing it. That movie is fucking hilarious.
Adios, turd
nuggets.
But just because we're talking about that whole like unrealistic idea of what working in video games means, and someone like James Portnow, who actually works in the games industry as a designer, goes around and tries to dispel some of those notions and also just try and shed light on some of the more critical topics, because sadly most gamers are not interested in having intellectual discussions about
video
games.
I think it's an important show, and I'm really glad Penny Arcade picked it up, because that gives it a lot more exposure than just on The Escapist.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we asked him actually about the move from The Escapist to Penny Arcade. He actually said he was not allowed to talk about it, so.
Really? Interesting.
Well, NDAs, it's pretty standard.
I don't know if it's that or something else.
But we will.
I feel like The Escapist is not, like, a big enough organization to require their participants to sign NDAs.
I mean, they're a business like anything else, dude.
Yeah.
It's
just the way it is.
I mean, Film Lovables does that crap, so, you know.
Okay.
Well, no, when we have... there's a difference between Film Lovables and the kind of NDAs they have to sign.
Yeah.
The kind of NDAs they have to sign, I mean, those are legal binding contracts that state you can't talk about, like, anything.
Well, yeah, okay.
Anything
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
With us. But,
which, you
so,
know...
So good, so good interview with those guys.
So good interview with them.
Continue the recap. Your recap. My
so
recap.
So all totaled, I think we did seven interviews.
Yes.
So let's start in order. We started with one of the guys from the band Random Encounter, who goes by Careless. That was a pretty good interview. It was pretty weird.
Hilarious.
It was hilarious.
I like The Witcher.
I love The Witcher.
I love The
his
Witcher.
His voice is awesome.
Is
yes.
he from
yeah, no.
lands unknown?
He's from Russia.
Nuclear
weapons.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Well, this entire con. No. Seriously. I'm not even doing it.
They're originally from Russia. They live in Orlando, Florida now.
Just edit that out.
Yeah.
But keep this in. They won't know what can edit it out.
Yeah.
I'll put a big beep like
get in post.
Yeah.
Bonk. And God, I don't even know what the hell he was talking about, but it was really entertaining.
Oh, he's talking like there was a backstory.
There's like
they're trying to find this evil.
It is like
Russian Horcrux doll. And to kill the evil, you must find a needle. The needle is inside an egg. The egg is inside a duck. The duck is inside the rabbit, which you must catch and then kill, and then catch the duck before it gets away. The rabbit is kept inside an iron box, which is then kept inside another box, which is buried in the roots of an oak tree, which is on the island of Koche, which is kind of vague in description.
Everything but the duck and rabbit, actually, well, the needle. Well, you can probably get one in there.
It's like the Russian stacking box of the Horcrux.
Right, that was is Russian stacking doll is Horcrux.
Matryoshka.
Also, if you're listening to this right now, Careless.
I'm sorry.
I really apologize for us, like, doing a horrible botched Russian accent, but we love you. You did an awesome interview.
You know what we could do? We could just play...
Your band was
just
great.
We can just play that clip of that audio.
Yeah, maybe we'll just edit this part.
But leave this part. Let's talk about editing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are editing, so.
Okay. So moving on. So we did Random Encounter. Then we did the Megas, the One-Ups, then Danimal Cannon.
Yes.
We interviewed
the popular yogurt.
Yes.
Okay.
We interviewed the Danimals. All of them.
Mm.
The elephant, the lion.
I love the
monkey. They're a hippo. I don't really know what the animals are, like which animals they are. I don't know that.
It's like the lion, the monkey, though. Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. The Biebs.
Baby.
We interviewed
what's Fruitylicious? Is that Danimals?
Fruitylicious.
There's this monkey, it's Fruitylicious.
Could be.
I think so.
Clearly,
actually.
You know more about the Danimals than I do. So.
That line just popped in my head.
Makes me want yogurt.
Could it be Twig?
Fruitylicious.
Wait, that might
you know,
be.
You know who did that voice acting?
Are you sure that's not like the zebra fruit stripe gum?
Are Are you serious?
Or tricks?
You never know.
Fruit Stripe.
People got to work.
Yeah, it could be the Fruit Stripe.
I want Fruit Stripe.
I haven't had Fruit Stripe in
the
years.
Zebra.
Wait, no, that's ass.
That's a Stride's
that
mystery
pretty
flavor.
Bad. That sounds pretty hard. That's pretty
no, seriously.
Pretty
really?
Yeah, yeah you taste it. It tastes like Stripe
was
gum.
There's no gum commercials?
What?
Wait, what? No, there aren't gum commercials.
Yeah.
Did you say there's no such thing as gum? He doesn't believe in gum commercials.
Double the flavor, double the fun. That's the statement of the great man of Double Mint Gum.
Yes, thank you. Moving
double
on.
Mint gum.
You never see a good-looking pair of Double Mint twins cosplay.
Well, how would we know they were Double Mint cosplay? They're just twins.
They really like gum.
We're going to change that next
green
year.
Or something?
I guess, okay, if they were, for some reason they're always skiers. Have you ever seen those Double Mint commercials? They're always skiers.
Yeah.
The twins
yeah.
are always
they're
skiers.
Either skiers or bicyclers. Yeah.
Or they're playing tennis.
There's some sort of athlete.
Oh, tandem. Yeah.
Double
yeah.
supremacy. Or,
they'll be riding tandem bikes.
Double
the
white.
Yeah, they rollerblade
double
in one
the gum.
Yeah. yeah. They're always athletes, though. So if you wanted to do a Double Mint
double
twins cosplay, you'd have to dress as skiers in green, and then you'd have giant like packs of Double Mint gum.
Double the dragon.
And it's still probably no one would get it.
You know what would be great? If someone cosplayed as the Mentos guy.
Yeah.
Just had like a little button on their belt. They could just click.
Mentos, Mentos,
pressure. Mentos, 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 Mentos.
Mentos,
the fresh maker.
Oh, my God. It looks like I know what one of us are doing next year.
Hell yeah.
Actually, I think my binging is giving me a sexy voice.
Actually,
which John St. John recommended doing.
Actually,
what, binging a lot before
and,
you...
And wrecking your voice. He said if you have to do a low voice, you want to wreck it the night before. Scotch.
Drink a lot of bourbon.
I learned about voice acting.
Oh, well, do you have any tips for us?
Things. Well, that. Ellen Page said water was important, but she's actually an opera singer as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is GLaDOS.
Yeah, yeah, we did we email her?
No.
We didn't email her.
The voice acting panel was great. Like, all these just old people talking about jobs. And, like, some people wanted advice and some people just wanted to mess with them. It was
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah, I personally did not go to any panels. Brian went to a number of panels. Do you want to speak to the ones that you went to? I mean...
Sure. I went to Ego Raptor's panel. And then I went to that guy with the glasses panel, which was it was like an hour, and they had like 16, 20 people up on stage. So it was like, okay, you can only ask two questions per person. So I was like, okay, whatever. And it was fun, but like obviously it was kind of like, you know, people are gonna ask the same questions over and over again, and it's either crap you already
right.
know or it's like obscure crap you didn't even know was gonna be asked in the first place. I was like, oh, whatever. Ego Raptor was fun because he was just up on stage and he was drunk, and he's just spouting random crap. And I actually got footage of it, so if you want to like put it up on online,
we can put it up on the blog.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
He's hey, just, all right.
Hey, all right.
Hey, all right.
All right, all right.
All right, all right.
That explains everything.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So what? Who else did we interview? So then we interviewed Paul Saunders from Loading Ready Run. They do Unskippable. They do a number of different videos. They're also well known for the Desert Bus for Hope charity, which we probably talked a good 20 minutes just about that.
Yep.
But it's. Are you familiar with
the,
Desert Bus?
The rigors of Desert Bus, or like unbeatable Desert Bus strategies.
Well, it's not unbeatable. In fact, it's the only way to lose is to just stop playing.
Yep. Well, it's like you can go off the map. You can go off the road. You can speed, I think?
No, because your maximum speed is capped at 45 miles per hour. So it takes 8 hours of real time to get from Tucson to Las Vegas.
And you have to go back and forth, and you get 1 point,
You
right?
get 1 point per trip. You can choose to go back, or you can just choose to end at any point when you reach the... But there's no passengers.
Now, most people probably know the origin, but for those who don't, it was actually part of a video cassette, or a sort of... No, a video game
Sega
that
CD.
Penn and Teller... put out to prank your friends.
Right, but
they had a video cassette as well.
Okay, yeah, but it was actually unreleased.
Was
it was
it?
Never released,
yeah.
but
yeah.
the ROM of just for Desert Bus, I think, was released later
I
on the internet.
Was it a medley and they only got Desert Bus then?
I think Desert Bus is the one that is most well known. I don't, like, that was just a mini game on that set.
What could have been?
I don't know. There are some other ones on there. But Desert Bus is the one that people know about.
Penn and Teller's trickiest friend into thinking you're psychic for charity.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to know, if you want to hear more about Desert Bus, just listen to the Paul Saunders interview. Because, like I said, we go into quite excruciating detail about Desert Bus. It's really interesting, though, and it's a good thing to talk about because they're doing it for charity.
Yeah.
And also the 3PS3s.
Also the 3PS3s thing, which that's a video you should check out. It's just called 3PS3s. That was a great interview. We did an interview with Bit Brigade, with, I think I said Dan O'Cannon.
Warning on that episode.
Yeah.
People interrupting each other. May contain alcohol.
Well, I said before that episode aired, or before we did the interview, I mean.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, this is either going to be.
All right, you want to pause? All right.
Okay. This is either going to be hilarious or it's going to be a real shit show. Turned out to be both. But
I'm still going to listen to it and laugh.
So that's
hilarious.
So that's all the interviews. The interviews are great. But let's talk about the other experiences, the experiences that happened off air, so to speak. First of all, let's talk about this hotel. It's
fancy.
It's fancy.
It was confusing to navigate. This is my first MAGFest, by the way, so I had no idea what the protocol was at all entering the hotel.
I only went for one day last year, so I'm basically saying this is my first MAGFest also. I mean, I was there for like 6 hours, maybe.
The main hall, like the lobby that opens up and the entire plexiglass place looks like inside of Lady Gaga's pants.
Yeah, it does.
It's just giant sheets of glittering sequins.
Well, let's go around. How many MAGFests have you all been to?
This is my first one.
Second, but first time staying.
Cool.
This is my second, but it's the first time staying.
First.
Okay. And so we're fairly new with this game.
We're all new. Now, so if you didn't see the location last year, this is like three times the size of that hotel. And they had to cap out at 3,000 people, and they probably had at least twice that many people here, if not more.
Yeah, they mentioned in one of the interviews that the attendance was doubled from last year.
And the space, there were tables everywhere. I mean, vendor tables were in hallways, in the lobby, every inch of space they could use. I think one of the guests we interviewed actually said that the fire marshals actually were literally measuring the space between every table with a tape measure to make sure that they were still within the fire code because it was that packed.
Yeah, and they also wanted to maximize the space for vendors, too.
Yeah.
This is last year we're talking about.
Yeah, this is last year.
Yeah, and you had no idea where anything was. They ended up moving bands to a different room where no one could find them. It was kind of like, it was so overwhelming walking in there, especially because we were only staying for one day. It's like, how can we even like see all of this in one day? So it's nice that they had everything self-contained this year.
To use a term from Star Trek, it was kind of like the Conorath. Just a little bit.
Okay.
They also rented out entire floors to MAGFest, so you could generally get away with just being a big jerk in the hallway and being loud, and everyone around you was MAGFest, so it was fine.
Yeah.
We had dinners, like buffet dinners in the hallways, like bizarre, like Costco lasagna.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was like, oh, this seems like the sensible thing to do, but other people were flipping out like, wow, this is amazing, it's awesome, oh, epic win. And other things that nerds say.
Yeah, see, I really want to hear what your weekend was like. Because we had to also worry about scheduling interviews, about doing the interviews, about just figuring things out. So a lot of our time was spent just with logistics. And it's like, an interview is only, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes. But it's really like an hour for each interview because you have to wait for the guests to show up. You have to get them seated. You have to figure everything out. And then just the time walking around to find the guests, trying to juggle the time. So a fairly significant percentage of our time is just spent worrying about the interviews and not actually enjoying the convention. So I want to hear someone who was just here to have fun.
Okay. Well, a little bit of background on myself, just to kind of get the context. I'm Andrew. I'm Justin's longtime friend.
Yep.
Knew Colin for a little bit shorter than that, and these guys for a little bit shorter than that. But I like to consider you all my my dear close personal friends.
Aww.
Group hug.
Blow it out your ass. I'm a gamer. My first game console was a Game Boy Color. And my first game was Speedy Gonzales, a Sonic ripoff. My second game was Turok, because my dad knew I liked dinosaurs. All you do in that game is kill dinosaurs.
Turok does not like dinosaurs.
He does, no. I think dinosaurs might have actually killed his parents.
I think he's the reason they went extinct.
It's a prehistoric Batman.
Meteor or Turok?
But yeah, so I play the occasional video game. I don't play, like, a ton of console. I play some online games. I'm getting into MOBAs, you know, League. I actually came here dressed as League of Legends character, Surprise Party Fiddlesticks. It's a skin for a scarecrow. Fiddlesticks is a scarecrow that has the ability to scare people, and then he throws crows at them. So it's a beautiful design.
Has anybody else here played League of Legends?
No.
Nope.
I have a little bit.
Okay, could you just explain League of Legends to me? Because I don't
understand it?
Well, I know so many people who play it. Like,
basically
Barry's
starts
obsessed
with Warcraft
with it,
3, and then there's a mod of Warcraft 3 called Defense of the Ancients, Dota, where instead of controlling an entire army, you control one hero, and it's 5v5. So you try and infiltrate the enemy's base and blow up their shit, essentially. And you just control one hero, you kind of farm gold, and then you buy items, sort of like in a regular RPG, but it resets every time you iterate the game.
Okay.
So it's an RTS where you control one dude, you upgrade your items, and then you do punch fighting until you win.
Okay.
Ideally.
So it's not a persistent world.
No, not at all.
Okay, it's like an RTS, as you said.
Though you could ask the guys from Extra Credits how they actually had an episode where they talked about the idea of a persistent MOBA or persistent RTS world, and there were some crazy ideas thrown out there.
Mm.
But anyways, so League is the spiritual successor to Dota, which it doesn't actually need now because Valve was coming out with Dota 2, though the timeline that I heard from that was 2 years from now, so it's in beta, but we shall see.
So is it kind of like Counter-Strike, how Counter-Strike was just a mod and then just exploded into its own game?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So League of Legends and Heroes of New Earth are the two competing MOBAs, and then eventually Dota 2 will or will not crush them all.
Okay. Sorry, what is that term you keep using? MOBAs?
MOBA. Massive Online, or Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Okay.
MOBA is a Dota clone, essentially.
Gotcha. I'd actually never heard that term before, so.
I've heard of Dota before, but it was in a Bass Hunter song, so.
Apparently Dota's really big. We never played it in high school, though, so.
Huh.
We were playing, like, StarCraft, maybe, or, like, Dawn of War played?
A lot of RuneScape.
Oh my god, fuck RuneScape.
I think it's because back in high school, none of us had...
I can say fuck, right?
Well, none of us had money, so we could only play, like, RuneScape or, like, text-based games. You remember MUDs?
Yeah.
MUDs, we played, like, Forsaken Lands, or...
My name is M-M-M-Mood.
You see a flask. Obvious exits are north, south, east, and Dennis. What?
Let's go, Dennis.
I remember our friend Steven always typed the extremely long, complicated character description for his MUD character, which you could only see if you specifically, like, looked at a character. But
right.
The better your description was, the more shit the admins gave you.
Huh.
They give you pets and stuff like that.
Nice.
Man, he knew how to game the system.
He was what we would call tryhard.
Until he, like, didn't he, like, piss them off one time and they, like, teleported him into space?
That sounds about right. So, yeah, I came into this as a way to spend a weekend, kind of get some convention experience. I've been to conventions, but not nerd conventions. So I came in with open eyes, not a ton of, like, nerdishness. I don't consider myself, like, an otaku gamer. So I'm not going
to,
like...
What other conventions have you been to?
I mean, like, things that take place at hotels and are sort of convention format. Like,
such as?
Like robotics competitions or things like that.
Okay, gotcha.
Knife sales conventions.
Yeah, I wouldn't say any of us are... Well, I shouldn't speak around. I'm not a huge convention goer. Colin, I don't think you go to a whole lot of conventions.
The only ones I really go to are this one. I might hit Otakon every now and again.
Yeah,
I don't go near Otakon.
The voyeurism is great, though. Like, as people watching here, I spent a good amount of time people watching, chilling out. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of cosplay here is probably less than at most other conventions, but there's... you'll still see some interesting sites.
I mean, I will say this. Like, if you go somewhere like Otakon, it's a pretty good, like, 80-20% people, you know, people are cosplaying. But here, it was kind of like...
the inverse.
It was more like 20-60. But it's cool, though, because it's not some obscure anime character that you have no idea who it is. It's, you know, oh, cool, it's Snake, so...
Or Mega Man.
Well, you're obviously...
I eventually stripped
down
my costume to its base elements, a party hat, a bow tie, and clown gloves, and then went around that for most of the time.
Yeah,
so.
You started, you had, like, gift wrapping paper around your stomach, and...
It looked like it was tearing when I saw you, so it's like...
Yeah,
it was.
It's probably in the trash somewhere.
But people loved the bow tie. They thought it was my birthday all the time.
Let me ask you, how many people actually got it?
None.
None, really? That's a shame.
Well, like, no one got it right away. Like, when I, like, made, like, a little pose and, like, did, like, the streamer thing, people who played League of Legends got it.
Okay. Well, like...
How many of them were there?
Say maybe, like, 5, 10? Like, what? How many would you say? Just curious.
Surprising number. Like, when I was at the lasagna dinner thing, like, 5 different guys, like, when they heard Fiddlesticks, they're like, what? You Fiddlesticks? What? Huh? What?
See, that actually sounds pretty awesome. That's another thing I would like to try and do next year, is try and actually, like, meet some of the people on the floor. Because we didn't meet any of the people that on the same floor as us, so.
Okay.
In fact, we never actually went into another hotel room the entire time we were here.
Like, I actually got off on the wrong floor, and I actually ran into Ashley from, Hey Ash, what are you playing? So it's like, oh, cool. And she was, like, in her big damn hurry, but whatever. So it was like... I don't know. If you go to a different floor, you're bound to meet somebody. So
yeah, and that's not to say we didn't meet people. We still met plenty of awesome people.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I came here with a dream, a costume, a Party City funded costume, a small budget, no room. I knew I would be able to find a room or whatever. I was not worried about sleeping arrangements, and I found one pretty quick.
So how'd that work out? So you showed up here at the hotel with no room.
I was going down an escalator, and I saw people I knew across from me. Then we switched escalators in a wacky series of hijinks until I caught up with them. I'm like, I need a room. Can I have some room? Like, yes, you can.
Did you just, like, sleep on the
here,
floor?
I actually slept in the bed the first night and the floor the second night. Not that I care the second night, because I'm partying with John St. John, as I will continue to say.
Yes.
And
you know,
past caring.
I would do that, too.
I partied with Duke motherfucking Nukem. I was past caring at that point.
There's straight men, there's gay men, and then there's John St. John.
It was a good capstone to the event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, walking around, all the arcades were amazing. I love that the D&D arcade was here.
Yes.
Because you said you were playing it, and I looked for it. You didn't say it was an NBA Jam cabinet.
I felt it would be too hard to explain in a text message.
In NBA Jam cabinet.
I guess... Well, the funny thing is there was...
Dick.
There's the NBA... There's D&D Arcade, which was in an NBA Jam
there was an
cabinet.
NBA Jam.
Then there was an NBA Jam that was in a different cabinet.
Right.
So,
yeah, they switch cabinets like it's their job.
No, I know what you mean. Because, what was it? They had the Simpsons Arcade game.
It's Simpsons Arcade game.
It was in a gauntlet cabinet.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody saw this, but there was a cabinet, and it was like... It had white panels.
Wait, was that the gauntlet cabinet?
I think so. No, there were two gauntlet cabinets. There was one that sort of half-faded, and that was the Simpsons game, and then there was the actual gauntlet Dark Legacy game.
But yeah, okay, there was a white cabinet that somebody had, and I forget what game it was, but it was like... It was a fighter, but people were drawing on it, and like some of these drawings were really cool. Some of them were like... I couldn't believe they actually had it out there because it was, like, extremely graphic, like, pornography somebody had drawn on it. But...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I saw that
one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think that's
what was it? It was Pac-Man Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, drew porn on Pac-Man Jr.
Yeah.
Well, there are some people who are just sick.
If you actually looked at some of the elevators, some people had scratched in the glass, too. Stuff.
What a bunch of dicks.
So it's more than just strawberries and cherries.
They weren't in there before, and then later on that day, I noticed there was markings in there.
There's a pile of dicks at the bottom of every barrel.
Well, it's you got the strawberry, you got the cherry, and then you got the dildo.
I mean, that's the kind of around. Like that's the kind of behavior that's gonna
power
fuck
up
over everyone because like the hotel sees that kind of thing. They're like, oh well, these are the sort of people that this convention brings. I guess we shouldn't have it
here
anymore.
Hotel security seemed lax.
Actually,
overall, it was pretty laid back, but I feel like the hotel wasn't super excited about having the convention here because there were no signs for it anywhere. No
Actually,
signs.
We got hassled by a couple guards.
Really?
When we were drunk, walking, looking for people.
What happened?
They kind of walked past us, like, where are you going?
I
can't make my voice. Where are you going?
Where are you going, boy?
Where are you going?
You got a pretty mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. I was kind of embarrassed, though, because, like, I'm a smoker, and I went out to smoke, and these guys were out, and they were cleaning up glass, and I looked down, and I hadn't even realized it, but I looked down, and it was like a sea of cigarette butts just on the floor, and I was like, this is a very nice hotel. Holy crap.
Wow.
This is the legacy we're leaving. Jesus.
Did they have any places to put your cigarettes?
Yeah, they had like three out there. So I was like, yep, okay, that's the last year we're here. Fuck.
Because it's so big, there's a lot of places you can just like crawl into and hang out, but there's also places that like people can just go up to stupid shit and eat their trash everywhere and not be accountable
for
it.
Hopefully the hotel doesn't reflect poorly upon the majority of us, because I think the majority of us were respectful in our, you know,
I mean, I'd say the majority are usually respectful, but that's not the issue. It only takes a couple.
Well, I'm just saying, I hope to screw things over.
But
like I said,
let's be optimistic.
Hopefully,
we
can come back here next year.
I don't think there were big enough, screw ups
for the Gaylord.
I might be
a little bit gay.
A little bit.
It's a nice hotel, and I really hope that they bring it back here because it's a nice place.
I'm totally gay for the Gaylord.
Boldly going nowhere.
I'm only bi for the Gaylord.
Yeah, you're bi
for
the Gaylord.
Or write a thank you note in paper.
Yeah, sure. Dear Gaylord,
with crayon.
I love you with mouth.
Now,
with
crayon.
BGN.
We were supposed to interview...
Dear Timothy.
We were actually supposed to interview the founder of MAGFest.
Whoa.
We didn't get a chance to, and we're also going to do an interview...
It's the mythical Dom.
It's... What's his name? Joseph Yamin.
Oh.
And... We're going to do at some point an interview with Nick Marinelli, who's the PR director. Big, you know, thanks and shout out to Nick for helping us. Huge thanks. Because he actually sent out all these emails on our behalf to all these different guests.
We should Skype interview him sometime.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to get him on the show.
Yes.
And talk to him. And also thanks to Evan Rosenberg, for putting us in touch with Nick in the first place, because Evan actually knows him personally. So, thanks to both those people.
Could he not be here, Evan? Did he want to? Or
I don't know. I don't think he was. Yeah, he wasn't planning on coming to MAGFest.
I see.
So,
so we've got hotel check, a giant massive video game room check, Dicks X
check.
Broken glass.
Well, it's a check, but it's also it's like an X check.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that was kind of Freudian, wasn't it? Now.
let's see. Oh, the LAN though kind of sucked. The internet didn't work.
Internet's pretty slow.
I actually talked with I'm friends with Ken, who is one of the admins over there, and he said someone plugged a switch into another switch, causing a packet storm, wherein there's a packet request that goes back to the server, and it's infinite packets.
Fuck, man. Packets.
And it's the worst thing.
Fuck packets.
So he's requesting they get better equipment next year to prevent that kind of thing from happening. But if I was actually playing some drunken League of Legends and got disconnected in the middle of a hilarious game. So I was disappointed.
Yeah, that, like, the LAN area, I just didn't even go near it. I just didn't. It was just like a no man's land.
I actually managed to play some TF2 for a little bit, so.
How was that?
It was pretty bad. It was pretty awesome. It actually worked for me. I had internet, and it was like 2 days ago, so it must have happened. I don't know when that happened.
Before or after, I guess.
The desktop PCs are pretty intimidating, actually.
So was it? Were you allowed to just go up and? Sorry to interrupt. What were you saying?
The desktops that people bring are really intimidating, and they just leave them out there. It's pretty ballsy, bringing your giant PC that you put love and care into and leaving it there. I think it shows a lot of trust.
Yeah, some of these rigs that I saw out there were like $6,000, $7,000, and there was a few $8,000 rigs out there. Like, I can actually look at the forest and tell you they were that much, and they were just...
Well, we know you're an expert because you call it a rig.
Yeah.
And so you could just go up and sit down at any computer and just...
Well, they had stations. They had the public ones, and then they had... People bring their own. And they were separate.
Yeah, they had a private area, and then they had ones that were available for everybody. So
gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a PC gamer, so it wasn't didn't really interest me.
No,
what, I dig that rig.
If laptop, I man. If I could give one, if there's like a comment card, if there's a comment card for MAGFest, more pinball machines. Like there were only like four. No, there were like six total, but three of them were broken. And
Star Trek, I definitely enjoyed the most.
I only got on the pinball machine. I didn't love get pinball. I'm not even good at it. I just love pinball.
There was a Family Guy one I really wanted to try.
I can understand probably why they didn't do the pinball machines, because they're extremely expensive to fix nowadays.
Yeah.
The parts are super rare, and very few people actually work on them.
Yeah.
And you have to get the parts overseas. And anything breaks, they have to have like a huge stock, because each machine is custom designed. There's no set standard within the industry anymore.
Yeah.
Pinball machines are...
Yeah, I mean, I saw them working on fixing the Star Trek machine. Yeah. I was like, when they had that lifted that thing up, I was like, wow, those things are complicated. Yeah. And I understand that. But at the same time, so it would be nice if there were more pinball machines.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who one was pretty cool.
Okay.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have two comments.
Okay.
First, I go with the Doctor Who. Did you see the girl who was cosplaying as a TARDIS?
I did not, but I did see the girl who was cosplaying as a fourth Doctor.
Nice. Well, there was a TARDIS girl. She was coming out of a room in the hallway. This was pretty late at night. I was walking past her. I was, like, kind of nodded. I walked past. I'm like, oh, good costume. And then, like, should I say it? I'm like, and she turns to me. I'm like, is it bigger on the inside?
I knew it.
She said yes. I'm like, woo!
Yes.
So just to mention something about a comment card for MAGFest, I'm looking on my excellent guidebook app, which I was keyed into fairly early on in the convention. There's a feedback panel from 4 until 6 that I suppose people were giving feedback to the founders of MAGFest.
Oh, okay.
Which I assume we would not be going to.
No. So, well, considering my only comment is more pinball, please.
Pinball.
I actually have a comment that I would like to put forward.
And they'll probably just say the same thing that you did.
That you said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I have one thing that I would suggest. Next year, I would suggest that they have, instead of, because in the convention they have what they call a jam space.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, let's talk about the jam space.
Okay,
yeah,
so
right.
The jam space is basically where if you're musically inclined and you want to go ahead and rock out with like-minded people, you can check in your instrument and then anybody can come in. You know, play around for a set amount of time, and then, you know, everyone is welcome. Well, in the off hours, basically when nobody was coming up for the jam space, basically they'd have DJs wander in out of the woodwork, and they just start running their sets, their normal sets.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I was like, talk about demographic mismatch. It was pretty bad.
It wasn't too bad, but yeah, it was.
Night, it was really bad.
It felt a little out of place.
Like,
I will agree.
It was like the DJs. It was like the same music over and over again. But the one DJ I really liked is he covered the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah,
and I was like,
that's
great.
But you know, and then he immediately went to something crappy. But I can think of a few things more awkward than someone DJing to an empty room. Because if you're just playing instruments, well, that's fine. If you're playing instruments in an empty room, that's fine. You're playing instruments. You're jamming. Like, DJing, it's the idea is to get people to dance. If there's no one there, like, why are you doing
What's,
it?
What was really funny is, like, as this, like, you know, like, song, like, techno was playing, people were walking in and, like, you know, almost all of them, as soon as they walked in, they walked right out. I bet these people turn around and then turn around.
Like, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for the comment I'm about to make, but I'll admit it, I'm pretty biased against like DJing as a musical talent, and like I understand that it takes skills. Like, it is very complicated to understand. All the equipment and crossfades and all the techniques and scratching. I'm not saying that it is not a skill. What I'm saying is that it does not compare. Like, watching someone on a stage just pushing a button on a laptop is not a performance art to me.
I could go with that.
I can
like,
kind of
yeah,
agree.
I think, like, same here.
Like,
I totally agree. And, you know, I got friends who are deep... I got friends who are DJs, but they're also like good at piano and they'll play stuff live like that.
Okay, yeah.
There's a totally difference between the DJ who's just sampling stuff and doesn't really go anything beyond the material that he sampled. He doesn't add anything original. It's just just a repeated like.
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is not that it's not like musical performance. A DJ, a computer is not an instrument. It's not a musical instrument.
Well,
sound like Kevin Lloyd.
If you're not adding,
sound like what?
Kevin Lloyd.
Anything original to
yeah, maybe? Okay. That's like
said, a, 7 years. People be playing the radio.
I feel like that's a debate for another
that
time.
Guy that,
maybe
yeah. It compiles all the radio hits in the big song.
I will say this.
I saw
this
recently.
Okay. We had a pretty good jam session last night.
Last night was awesome.
So you jammed.
We had a great jam session.
We went all three nights. We tried to go and jam, and it is a very frustrating process because some people will just get up there and they will just, stay on there for hours and refuse to get off. Mm. The problem is that no one wants to be a dick. No one wants – people just – we're not assertive. I mean, that includes us. Like, we're all standing around there awkwardly like –
Same as last year, but this time we actually
did. But there was a concerted difference between all three nights. The first night was just anybody who wanted to get up there just got up there.
Yeah.
The second night, they started setting down, okay, you guys want to go at what time? Okay, fine. Be here at this time, and then you can go up. And then the third night was finally, they gave us 10-minute slots. You went up, and they were like, at the end of your 10 minutes, they were like, does anybody else want to get up on stage? Somebody else raised their hand, you got off, they got on, and it was so if they go with that same motif next year, that would work far better.
We actually got to play for 30 minutes last time,
yeah.
I think.
But even then, like, you'd think, oh, the 10-minute limit would be too restrictive, but we had the best jam session in 10 minutes than we did playing for, 20 or 30 minutes the night before.
And then we had that jam session. No one's here, so you can, take whatever you want. You can play a little bit more if you want to until someone comes up.
Yeah, and then he actually let us keep going because the first 10 minutes were so good.
And then we had that one chick that
there was no one else who was really trying to get up there at the time.
Yeah, we had this girl join us, and she plays flute. She played piano a little bit. She could sing. She was really, really good. And
it's Michelle.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And that just totally, like...
Giving a shout-out to Michelle out there in Radioland.
Michelle. Yeah.
Totally added a whole new layer to our playing.
Yeah.
And made me really think, like, maybe we should try and get a vocalist or something. Or a flute player. I don't know. It sounded really good.
Yeah.
I think keyboard is really good.
I think keyboard overall is what we really need.
Yeah. But we started playing, after we played the Stephen and the Hawking set, which is Big Cloud Stuff and Miracle of Life, after that they said, okay, you can play for a little bit more. And then they started trying to toy together this theme from Gerudo's Valley and Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda. And we started getting slowly together, and all of a sudden it just kicked off. And we went with like the whole theme, and then after that we did another theme from Zelda, which was Saria's song. I was like, that's like my favorite games of all time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean that could be like, I think we could explore that sort of territory.
I do too.
As a band.
I don't know what possessed me last night, because I was on drums. I'm the drummer in the band.
You were
band,
doing really good. Like, you were awesome.
It was ridiculous last night, because I was like, wait a minute, I'm doing this, and it's, like, incredible. How do I know how to play this song? Holy shit.
I know. And you can drop drumstick once.
Yeah. So yes, you with the
I dropped my
stupid
pick all the time.
No, it's not a stupid question. It's because you actually had confidence.
Yeah.
You're actually pretty talented. I know that because I've seen you play quite a few times. You're just so self-conscious, you cause yourself to make mistakes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, buddy.
Anybody who has self-confidence will just go up there and play, and usually they tend to do quite well.
Yeah.
So, holy crap, I gotta tell that story, actually.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I gotta tell this story. Okay, the first night I was here, actually, I've already told this story. Colin just did it, but I was kind of drunk, and I was wandering the halls, and I was just kind of doing my own thing. And this group of three guys just comes out of the hall, and I'm just like, everybody's been doing, like, really awesome. Like, everybody's just been really cool, really nice this entire time. And so these three guys come up, and they're like, hey, dude, high five. And I was just like, okay, sure, why not, right? So So I'm like, okay, fine, high five. And he goes, psych, and he takes away his hand and he walks away chuckling. And I'm like, okay, Roger from fucking Doug. Jesus, like, and it messed with my fucking psyche the rest of the night for some reason. Like, it shouldn't have, but it just fucking, like, it was in the back of my head like a fucking bug.
Someone stiffed you on a high five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck?
And
so,
and this weekend I've been messing with him about it.
Yeah.
I just did it to him.
Yeah, so I was like,
pfft. I wasn't there.
All right. But, so let's
anyways, back to the actual podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
What about other things besides music?
MAGFest. Well, we haven't finished music for one thing because there's professional video game music at this music and gaming festival.
Yeah, let's talk about the acts, the performances.
I was
going to
talk about that.
Did you catch any of them?
All right.
Can we just love Nobu Uematsu for like
that
5 minutes?
That just blew my fucking mind.
Can we just?
Oh my god!
That took my mind grapes.
He made Colossus cool again.
Just for 30 seconds, he made the Colossus shout cool.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to hear, what's your opinion on the Colossus shout? Like, do you hate it as much as we do?
Well, I heard people using it, and I immediately go, "Huh, I should find out how that actually sounds, just so I can imitate it if I want to imitate it." And I did. So I went, like, pretty much immediately down to play the X-Men arcade game, and it was pretty fun. I didn't play Colossus, I played Wolverine, who has a decent super, not the best. Colossus is, oh my god, that he just clears the screen.
It's pretty broken. It's pretty OP.
Everything else about him sucks. Like, he has no attack range, he's kind of like this dude. But then, when you die, you respawn, and you get your mutant power back. Suddenly you're just beast-moding, or them and bring back, or start get people to use.
We'll try. We'll try and help you out.
Beast mode.
Beast mode.
Or you can say beast mode engage.
Okay.
Engage.
Beast mode. Beast engage. Mode.
Engage. Oh my.
Oh my.
Hello.
Have you mentioned Star Trek Uno Colossus on the podcast yet?
Oh yeah, let's talk about Star Trek Uno. So there's also.
I guess we'll get back to Nobu.
We'll get back to the music. Let's talk about the board game.
Right. We actually were moving a little bit through the convention, like we covered video games and then the LAN, and then we can move to tabletop.
Yeah. So we're kind of going. We're actually like geographically moving through it.
Was there board games last year at MAGFest?
I don't remember
there.
There probably was, but in a hidden room if you had to pull a book or something,
right.
And they like in the staircase.
Yeah.
You know.
You have to play a certain key on the piano, then you lift Shakespeare's head and push a button.
And then the board game room opens up.
You have to fight the Beholder from the first D&D movie.
I wasn't talking to myself that year, so it wasn't the Goonies. Anyway.
What they did was really smart. They put all the board games out on a table, clearly, where you could see it.
Holy crap. Hold
visitors.
On. Visitors.
Pause.
Go ahead, open it.
Answer
it. Right, so talking won't do anything?
Oh, it's...
No, we're good.
We're good.
Oh. Thank you.
We need John St. John.
Can you get us a John St. John?
I think we all thought that was going to be
the
Ego
towel.
Raptor, right?
Everyone had like their tails wagging. They're like, huh?
It's like, really? Oh, it's going to be like, hey.
Oh, towel guy. Oh.
He's probably already gone. Yeah.
All right. We'll cut this part out.
Is this, did we not pause at all?
No, we didn't pause.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't press anything.
Real.
No, it's real.
Reels.
A word that no one should use ever, but I use all the time.
Okay, all right, to get back to
tabletop.
Board games.
Tabletop specifically. Oh my god, this tabletop.
47 minutes.
Okay, we'll
nice.
Cut off in an hour. We'll cut off in an hour.
This tabletop. I actually had a great tabletop experience this morning when I was kind of like wandering around. I had to meet my friend Jonathan. He was in the separate room given for card game tournaments, the Magic the Gathering. I play Magic as well. That's
right.
A game that I've played for a long time. I love it. Very casual, not professional or anything.
I mean, you're pretty good at it.
I went in, I was talking with John, and he was doing a draft where sort of people get a table and draft cards like you draft football players. And I guess if you don't play cards or football, then you will be lost. But this player was at the table, and John says, "Can you help him with his deck? He's new." And I help him build his deck correctly, because you get a large card pool, and then you have to pare it down to the best cards to make your deck to battle with people. And I'm talking to him through like various concepts, like just like things like new to being that format, limited, not like Magic in general. Turns out this is like his second game of Magic ever, and I'm like showing him different cards and like telling him how different tricks we use. He's like, remind me how combat works again? And I'm like, oh...
Jeez.
Youngling.
But he was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. He was ready to go. Like, he was totally on board. He actually had sort of a plan with his draft. It wasn't like a total train wreck. It was pretty cool walking through it a little
bit. That's nice. You sort of took someone under your wing.
Well, when he got his first pairing for his match, he was putting his deck together. His opponent looked completely, like, just rolling his eyes at this whole affair. So I think if I had, like, sat next to him and told him how to play, there would have been problems. There might have been punches thrown. I don't know. So I told him just to, you know, talk to your judge. Talk to your local friendly judge and help him out. So hopefully he did well. Maybe I'll find out from Jonathan later how he did.
That's cool. Did you win any drafts?
I didn't do any drafts, actually.
Oh, you didn't do any drafts?
No. I played some Auto Dragon Highlander. It's the super casual format. But, yeah. We got some cards, too, from the vendors. They had some decent deals.
That's cool.
Yeah, the vendors were pretty good.
They're pretty.
So more.
Gorgeous.
All right. So it was like half stuff that was like for the hardcore guy who wants to be in Japan, and then there's a quarter stuff for like cool people, and there's a quarter stuff that's pornography.
Yeah, and then just tables heaped high with Pocky, just entire tables of Pocky.
I found Pocky at Walmart for like 99 cents, and then I go over here, it's like $2.75. I'm like, I want it, but no.
I did spring $2 for some Yan Yan.
I remember Yan Yan. Yan Yan.
I don't know why I like it so much.
So we're sort of in the tabletop vendor room right now. Did you guys buy anything at the vendors?
Nope. Yes, actually.
Brian brought a good number of stuff.
I actually bought a Mega Man hat. Nice. And I had to get a friggin' Team Fortress 2 shirt. I just absolutely had to.
Nice.
So
I got a shirt that has Captain Falcon, portly Captain Falcon on it, and it says Falcon Lunch.
From the Halos guys,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Yes.
Show me your food.
I was about to get Link to the Future with Link stepping into a DeLorean, but they ran out of my size.
Nice.
Extra large.
Colin, did you get anything?
Nope.
Ben?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't buy any souvenirs this year. I'm a little sad, but my finances aren't, you know, super great right now. So next year.
So donate at castwavestudios.com.
So donate to our thing donate so we can spend it on merch.
Donate so we can get pizza.
I'm hoping next year.
Exactly.
By the way, that was probably one of the better things that we did last night. We ordered some Domino's and we were watching Ninja Turtles.
I'm sorry.
The first Ninja Turtles.
I was like, oh, God, I'm five and I'm at a birthday party again. Oh.
No, don't make eye contact. Stop making eye contact.
I'm doing it too. Andrew has pulled out his penis.
I'm telling the boss. No, no, don't.
He's stroking Justin's.
You never, no, don't do that. You never make them touch. You never finish. I'm telling the boss.
Don't move. I'll go get you a towel.
Well, I actually bought a ton of stuff compared to you guys.
All right, what'd you get?
I found this one booth where I got a couple magic cards. And then my weakness, like I said pointedly that I'm not a big otaku nerd, but my weakness is Pokemon. And I found this out because I want to buy all the Pokemon things. I could barely restrain my rampant greed.
You know what? You're not as bad as, do you know Dan Stone?
Yeah.
At least you're not as bad as Dan Stone.
Is he big Pokemon?
Obsessed with Pokemon. I mean, obsessed with
my Pokemons. Let me show you them.
We try to keep it tasteful. I got a $3 commission. I got a little print. I got these sweet buttons. Me and my friend Jamie got some buttons.
You don't have to move it.
Pokemon fans out there, we've got Latias,
I know.
Shiny Mareep, Missigno, don't see that often, Glaceon, Houndour, Leafeon, and the Substitute doll.
What, no Pikachu?
What the shit? No.
Fuck Pikachu.
You missed Pikachu.
Right. It'll pick you up.
Yeah, that's. Okay. I was amazed.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
I always talk about how at any convention like this, you're guaranteed to see at least one fat guy in a Pikachu costume. usually Asian, but not necessarily, always fat. And
I saw its evolved form of a Raichu.
You saw a fat guy in a Raichu costume?
Yeah, a Raichu costume.
That's you never see Raichus.
Yeah.
I liked Raichu.
I really wanted to high-five him, but I was on the elevator.
Like, just because Pikachu...
I,
Actually, my my Pokemon sighting started a little early because I went into work, and there was actually a girl wearing a Pikachu hoodie. So I was like, holy crap, this is starting early for me.
If someone gave you the Pikachu mobile, would you drive it?
Yes. One of the cooler things I've actually seen...
I would drive that to my... If I had a job. I would drive that 10 years from now to my high-paying
I would drive that
job.
To my non-job.
I would drive that to my hypothetical future job.
That's
time travel right there.
That's chaos theory.
Can I tell a quick cosplaying story?
Sure.
I
just have one thing also.
Let me two things.
All right.
Okay, there were a lot of Pikachu, especially girls dressed up with something with Pikachu on.
Girls love Pikachu.
Yeah, the second thing is next year I'm bringing Pokeballs and I'm throwing them at them. I'm like, come on, Pikachu, get in a Pokeball.
You're coming back to my room.
I gotta catch you.
Get in the flask.
I actually have a third thing, too.
Great cosplay or greatest cosplay?
I do have a third thing as well.
He has a third thing.
No one's tried that.
It just reminded me. I actually never liked Pikachu because I thought he was a dick. He was always so spoiled. He never got into Pokeball.
He never listened half
the time, and he always used to steal Ash's hat. And I was like, I wouldn't have that as a pet. I would have beat that thing and left it in the corner.
Bitch, I will turn you into
a
fur collar.
Seriously, he was just a dick.
ESPCA.
Fuck you, Pikachu. You're an ass.
One of the cooler things I've seen down at in the dealer's room, though, actually... you know how you get badges in the game? They actually have like the lapel pins of the badges, and I was like, "Oh, that's freaking neat."
They're pretty tech, yeah.
Yeah,
I was actually playing Pokemon Stadium, and this guy's like, "Oh, where do they get those badges? Like over there." It's like, "Oh, let's go buy them right now. Let's go do this thing."
Good.
All right. And the one thing I wanted to at least discuss just a little bit before we wrap up is the Star Trek Uno, but the extra cards that they had concluded in the set.
Yeah. So. So they had tons of board games.
I can't tell my Fat Tifa cosplay story.
Oh, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty short. First.
Basically, my friend Matt and my friend Steve were talking about their sort of their plans for whatever, and Matt was saying, yeah, if I see a Tifa, I'll just go up to her and say, hey, you want to fuck? And then we'll go and screw. And as it said, behind him was a cosplayer Tifa who was extremely fat, and Steve was like, yo, go ask her. Like, as he was saying these words, if I see a Tifa, I'm going to go up and ask her, hey, you want to go fuck? So now he's cursed by Fat Tifa.
No, you got to say, you want to go get a pizza to fuck?
He?
And if she looks you the wrong way, you'd be like, you don't like pizza?
No,
okay, did he?
I think that's a sign that every... Tifa? Do you mean Tifa?
Is it Tifa?
Tifa.
You're talking about Tifa from Final Fantasy VII?
Have I played Final Fantasy VII?
I don't know, have you?
No.
It's Tifa.
I like
Tifa. Tifa's pretty hot.
Wait,
I will agree.
There's no enunciation though in Final Fantasy VII.
It's Tifa. I know. It's Tifa.
Okay.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. But yeah, I think he's cursed. Every Tifa he sees is going to be a fat Tifa. That's a sign.
Well, that right there is called karma.
Yeah, until he becomes a better. It's like Shallow Hal.
I was just thinking that.
Until he buys Nobu Uematsu a Samuel Adams.
Yeah.
Samuel Adams.
I think that was poor taste when everyone started shouting USA, though.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, whatever.
I was like, don't do that. Oh, you're doing it.
No, the Earthbound Papas were great.
God, that was good. Okay, so...
Are you feeling good? Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Dude.
Okay.
The wolf.
All right, let's talk about Star Trek Uno, and then let's wrap this up, because
okay.
we're getting long. All
right.
So board games, they had tons of board games, everything from, like, Catan to like Dungeons and Dragons, like Arkham Horror, Call of Cthulhu, and what do we
Munchkins.
Pick? Munchkin, Small World, Pandemic.
We go through a series of games.
And what did we pick? We picked the Game of Life.
picked the Game of Life.
In the Game of Life.
Out of all the games we could pick, we picked the Game of Life. Here's the games we played this weekend. We played the Game of Life. We played Sorry. And we played Uno.
Wait, was it gambling? Sorry.
No. I thought it was Trouble. I was confused. I thought it was the one with... I thought Sorry was the one with the bubble.
No.
And I was wrong.
Getting into Trouble.
Right. Sorry doesn't even use dice. You pull cards. Sorry's the worst game.
Wow.
Sorry.
And we had like so many people come over and to the table and be like, dude, where's the bubble? Where's the bubble? Like,
No.
That's
it
Trouble.
No. It was Justin who thought that Sorry had the bubble.
Yeah,
and then everyone who came up to us was like, Where the fuck are the dice? How are you even playing?
I think Trouble and Sorry have the relationship, kind of like how you'll have a movie and then a very similar movie released very shortly.
Yeah.
Bug's Life and Ants.
Yeah, because they both involve going around and getting all your pieces in a spot, and they both involve like bumping other players.
Do you know what other game is very similar to that? It's an older game. And both of them are modeled off of it. I can't think of the name.
Parcheesi.
Parcheesi, yes.
I think some like old dude came up and just like, oh, that's just a version of Parcheesi. I'm like, thank you.
Maybe Parcheesi inspired the exact same time, and they both capitalized on this.
Yeah, they're remakes.
Life. Sorry.
And then we played Star Trek Uno.
We had two aborted games though before that, right?
Oh, we were gonna play.
Star
Wars Trivial Pursuit, but pieces were missing.
Yeah.
We still had the cards, but...
And we were going to play some sort of...
Frag by Steve Frag. Jackson games.
Yeah.
It was Munchkin.
It looked like a takeoff of Warhammer.
A 40K. First-person shooter board game.
Yeah, and it was just like, this is going to be way too complicated to set up, and none of us ever played this game. There are tons of games there that looked really interesting, but it's like we would have had to take an hour just to learn the rules before we could even start playing.
Call somebody in who knew the rules.
Yeah, so finally we settled on Star Trek Uno, and Colin had never played Uno before, which I thought was amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
What is so hard to believe about that? I haven't played Uno.
In consolation, I've never played Risk, so.
I bet he hasn't seen Fight Club.
I grew up in a poor house, sorry.
It's like you didn't have a child.
He's a redhead. Hey, Colin. The floor is lava.
Oh, God.
He's jumping around. Look at him.
But we taught Colin how to play Uno, and he immediately fell in love with it and demanded that we play,
three
games.
After 3 rounds, banned it from ever playing again.
So, Star Trek Uno has a sort of system of cards. The colors are terrible. I'm a little colorblind.
I never knew this about you. I never knew that.
Really?
I guess it never came up.
I mean, it's not bad, but blue and purple is close. Red and green is close. Green and yellow-green and brown-green and whatever the hell, like, the color...
It was like
the predominant color of the card was not the color of the card. The color
red was like
the
puce.
Character portrait was the color of the card.
I mean, I will agree, it was kind of... The shading was really weird, how it was, like, modeled, but... I don't know. I thought it was hilarious.
They had each of the characters on the number per the number. So every time a 7 came up, it was Mr. Sulu, and everyone had to say, "Oh my,
oh my!" Oh my.
You notice Kirk was number one,
and then the original line, like, and then instead of saying Uno, instead of saying Uno, the game recommended.
Oh yeah, instead of saying Uno when you have one card, you have to say Space, the final Uno frontier.
Which is lame, so Khan's like,
Wait. What if John St. John said it? Space, the final Uno frontier.
I think we...
Bitch.
Maybe. Or we could get, we should get Scott Fletcher to say that. Space, the final Uno frontier.
Khan!
so instead we just said... We'll just say Khan whenever we have one.
Which was really entertaining.
We will scream
because
it.
I guess one of us yelled it. Oh, more than one instance. One of us yelled it a little bit above the decibel range that we're used to, and then it caught on as a colossus, and everyone started going and it was infectious.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're already gone.
X-Men Uno then.
I put you my
was that a,
my beat me up.
Or an,
I'm gonna throw down. I'm gonna throw down
neither.
My,
neither.
I'm gonna throw down my beat me up Scotty card and then block
cancel.
Block
so
cancel.
let's go ahead and wrap it up now. I could almost see us doing a second recap episode because we
was
still
maybe
have
half
part one.
We still, yeah, I think we need a part two because we still have lots of goofy stories with arm wrestling last night. Whatever the
oh
hell
God,
those guys
awesome.
Were playing. We still have video games to talk about. We have the food. You know the
still got more music to talk about.
We didn't get to talk about Bit Brigade at all. So we're gonna have a part
places,
two
things.
At some point. But for now, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes,
and I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.